Morning. If you will turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Our text will be Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your friend? Do you need him to be your friend? A friend is someone you can trust. There's nothing like having a good friend, a true friend. A friend is someone you can count on. When you need them, they're going to be there for you. A friend is someone you can rely on. You can really trust them. A friend is someone you can come to. Whatever problem you have, you can come to your friend. Bring it to your friend. Take it to your friend. A friend is someone who cares for you. They really have your best interest in their heart. They really want you to be well off. They care for you. I ask again, do you need him to be your friend? I need him to be my friend. More than anything in this world or in the world to come, I need him to be my friend. And I pray you do too. Now here's the good news, all right? This verse that we just read, this is all about Christ. And the first thing it says is a man that hath friends. Jesus Christ is a man. He's God and he's a man. And he's a man that hath friends. If you need him to be your friend, then I pray you, like I, will rejoice just reading that. A man that hath friends, he has friends. God. Just consider this glorious fact. God Almighty, the holy, righteous, just God of heaven and earth, he has friends. Isn't that wonderful? He has friends. He chose to have friends. He didn't have to. He alone is holy, just, and righteous, and he chose to have friends. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, who are his friends? Who are the friends of God? First, it's a particular people. You just consider yourself. Is everybody your friend? No. And it's not so with God either. He has a particular group of friends. He called them my friends. Not everybody's his friend. Now, I know we live in a religious world where anybody who has some religion or so-called Christianity, they'll claim Jesus is my friend. We're best friends. We got a good thing going, or however they want to say it. That's what people think. Everybody thinks they're God's friends. But that's not the case. It's just not the case. Turn to James chapter 4. Let me show you this. James 4, verse 4. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it's not enough for us to say God's my friend. Jesus Christ is my friend. I need him to tell me he's my friend. And I pray by the time this message is over, we'll see who his friends are. And I pray that we'll be able to say, he's my friend. That's my friend. Here in James 4, look at verse 4 with me. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Everyone claims to be his friend. This whole world claims him as their friend. It's not what the book says. Everybody in this world, we all by nature love this world. And yet we think we love God and the world. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. This world, and we see it, don't we? This world is clearly not God's friend. It's not God's friend. And the reason is because this world does not know God. This world does not know God, and this includes all of us. As we're born into this world, We do not know God, and we're not His friends. Not His friends. We're born into this world His enemies. Just consider that. If there's one thing I don't want to be, it's the enemy of God. He's the one we're going to stand before. He's the one that's going to judge us. Either say, come on in, enter into the kingdom prepared for you, or depart into everlasting darkness. I need Him to be my friend. Romans chapter 8 tells us that our carnal mind, this fleshly, wicked mind, is enmity, hatred against God. If you don't believe me, just look at the cross. Never was our hatred for God so clear. Everybody wants to say, Jesus is my friend. Well, look what we did to Him. And you want to tell me, oh, He's your friend? We were not His friends. We're His enemies by nature. Isaiah 53, the prophet, he prophesied, He's despised. He's rejected of men, all men. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from Him. We esteemed Him not. This speaks of all of us. We did not want Him. We didn't want Him. No man wanted Him. You can claim to be God's friend all you want, but He tells us we're not. Not His friend. Well, then who is? I just said all of us were not His friend. Well, who is His friend? Who are His friends? Here's the good news. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous and wine bibber, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus Christ is the friend of publicans and sinners. That's who He chose to be His friends. The publicans and sinners, they didn't decide to make Him their friend. They didn't choose to be His friends. Our Lord chose to be our friend. He chose to be their friends. Let me show you this over in Luke chapter 15. I love this verse. Luke 15, verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1 says, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. Publicans and sinners, they wanted to be in His presence. They drew near to Him. I love that. They drew near to Him. When they heard He was near, they took off running. Got to get to where He is. I got to hear Him. Is it so for you? Is it so for me? I pray that all of us are here to hear Him. And I pray that we can take our place right here as a publican and a sinner. Unworthy. Those who wanted to be with Him are those who knew by nature they despised Him. They're those who knew there was nothing good in Him. They're those who needed Him. Do you need Him? Not everybody does. Not everybody drew near to hear Him. Lots of times people knew where the Lord was and they came to Him, but for all the wrong reasons. Not to draw near to hear Him. Look at verse 2 right here. And the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, they murmured, they complained, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Is that your reaction when you read that Christ is the friend of sinners? Why would He do that? Well, I ask myself that, but not for the same reason. God can do whatever He's pleased to do. He can dwell with whoever He's pleased to dwell with. He can make whoever He wants to be His friend. I pray our reaction is not like the Pharisees. Don't you know she's a sinner? I rejoice to know this man received sinners. If he didn't, there'd be no hope for me. This man received sinners. Praise God. Sinners are His friends. Lost. You ever been lost? needy, helpless, hopeless, dying, damned, sinners? Are you a sinner? If so, let me tell you about your friend. We're back in our text, Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:24. Jesus Christ is a man that hath friends. And our text says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, it just goes without saying, if you want to have friends, be friendly. Be a friend. Don't expect to go around being an angry, grouchy person and to have all these people behind you as your friend. You want a friend? Be a friend. Well, this is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He must show himself friendly. And we can say without a doubt, he has he not? Just the first thing I'll say here, it's who he is. He is friendly. He is a friend. His name is Savior. He purposed in his heart to come into this world not to do something for himself. He didn't come here and do anything for himself. He did only that which pleased the Father. He came to save his people. He went about doing good everywhere he went, every single day. He told the truth. That's something you want in a friend, isn't it? Someone that will tell you the truth. Whether or not it's what you want to hear, it's what we need to hear. And he does. He is the truth, and he only tells the truth. I love reading how our Lord healed them that had need of healing. I wonder how many of them. All of them. All of them. It says he healed all manner of sickness. Are you sick? He's the great physician. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He cleansed lepers, a deadly disease, most miserable disease a man could have. He healed them just like that. I will be thou clean. He made the dumb to speak. He made the deaf to hear. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He caused the dead to rise and live again. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. Brethren, all of these things that our Lord did, all of this sickness that he healed, all these miracles he performed, it's what he's done for us spiritually. He's shown himself friendly to us like no other man possibly could, like only God could do. He saved us from our sin. Now, I want to show you something that I heard and then that I looked up for myself in studying for this message. Here in verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends. That word friends can also mean associates. All right. A man that hath friends or associates must show himself friendly. Here's the true meaning of that. Show himself friendly. It means to spoil by breaking to pieces. It means to make good for nothing. To be bad. That just don't hardly make any sense, does it? A man that hath friends must be bad, good for nothing, spoiled by breaking to pieces. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. In order for the Lord Jesus Christ to associate himself with me, in order for him to be able to call sinners like us his friends, in order for us to have any friendship, any fellowship, any bond, he had to become what we are. He had to identify himself with us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. This is speaking of Christ. It says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, his friend. When he came into this world, he is the angel of the Lord. He didn't come that way. He took on him the seed of Abraham, his friends. Verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Now that word behooved, it behooved him in all things. It means to owe. It means to be obligated. It means to must needs. We just read he must show himself friendly. And what this here means is, in order for us to be reconciled to God, in order for there to be any peace with God for us, he had to be made like unto his brethren. He had to be made like unto his friends. He had to be made sin. And he was. God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know no sin. He knew no sin, that we might be made what he is, the righteousness of God in him. I love this. Philippians 2 says, he made himself. He did this all by himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do this? To make us his friends. What happened at the cross? We became his friends. He joined himself to his friends by his death. Turn to John 15. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When Christ died on the cross, it was for his friends. I thought it was for his enemies. Yep, it was. But he made us to be his friends. In the eternal covenant of grace, he said, they're my friends. I'm going to do this for them. I'm their surety. I'll bear the blame forever if I don't get it done. They're my friends. And I just thought about this for a minute. Who did he die for? You look, read the account of what happened at the cross. We saw Peter just thought he'd die with him. Thought he'd follow him to the end, didn't he? And all the disciples agreed with him. And we would have said the same thing. I'll never do this. I'll never deny you. Sure enough, before the cock crowed twice, in just a matter of minutes or hours, he denied him three times. That's who he died for. That's who he died for. You consider that thief on the cross. He saved one of them, but we read that both of the thieves stood there casting the same in his teeth. Both of them stood there and mocked him, laughed at him, reviled him. And then the Lord saved one of them. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's who he died for. A thief. Unfaithful disciples. And more than that, he said, Father, forgive them. Those who drove the nails in his hands and in his feet and placed that crown on his head and stripped him of his clothing and put on him that scarlet robe and said, King of the Jews, Jesus, King of the Jews. They mocked him. Mockingly, they hailed him. That's who he came to save. That's who he hung on that cross for. Those who did that to him. Isn't that amazing? Forgive them. At the sermon at Pentecost, Peter told them. He said, you crucified him. He said he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but you did this. And it says they were pricked in their heart. God revealed him. He made these things known to his friends. They realized it was revealed unto them. He died for me. I did this to him, and he died for me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? How can it be? Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 6. I don't want it to just go in one ear and out the other. I want this to really sink into us. Just what he did, for who he did it. Romans 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, according to the time predetermined by God, Christ died for the ungodly." Not only does that mean we didn't deserve Him to die for us, we're totally contrary to Him. Everything God loves is the opposite of us. Everything God hates is what we are. And yet He died for the ungodly. Why would He do this? Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And let's just acknowledge this. He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for a good man. He didn't die for a righteous man. Verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'll tell you this, if there's one thing I do not deserve, it's to be His friend. It's to be able to call Him my friend. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, "Much more than." Every time we read that, "much more," just think, wait, there's more. Not only did He die for us, "much more than, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." It just told us, we shall be saved. We shall be saved. All right. Verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." He's reconciled us to God. He's justified us by His blood. He's made us to be one with God. Can it get any better? Honestly, can you imagine anything more wonderful? That He would make sinners like us to be His friends. Back in our text. God has revealed to you that you're a sinner, that you're unworthy of Him, that you're unworthy of anything but eternal death and damnation. Then you can say with me, by the grace of God, He's my friend. And He's my best friend. Religion might float that around flippantly, but I mean that. He's my best friend. He's done for me what you couldn't do for me. He's done for you what I couldn't do for you. Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend," there's just one, "that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, I got to thinking about the friends I have in this world. I've been blessed with many friends, many true friends. And I'm talking about friends in Christ. I'm talking about my brother. You're my brother. You're my friends. God has given us the ability, the privilege, the opportunity, week after week after week, to worship our God together. You're my friends. You're my best friends. But you're not my best friend. That belongs to Him. Now, I value your friendship. All my brethren whom I've been blessed to know, had some in our house last week, have some in our house today. Words can't describe how thankful I am for your friendship. I could never put it into words just what that means to me, just what you mean to me, by God's grace. But we must acknowledge there would be no such friendship, there would be no such fellowship without Christ. You're the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. I thank God for you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I thank God for you. I thank you, but I thank God for you. Thank God for your friendship. But it does not matter how many friends I have. Doesn't matter how many conferences we can go to, how many brethren we can meet, if we don't know Him. He's the one we must know. Does He know your name? That's what matters. are our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We must know Him. He must be our friend. See, our friendship doesn't compare to His. It just doesn't compare. I could potentially give you everything I own, but I can't give you eternal life. And I wouldn't give you everything I own. I'm sorry. I'm too selfish. I'm too sinful. He gave everything He had. He gave it all. He told that rich young ruler, you sell everything you have. You come follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. Christ literally did that. He came down from heaven. He condescended. He took upon Him the form of a servant, came in our likeness without sin. He gave everything. He gave Himself. I can pray for you daily. I should. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't think of it. But I could pray for you daily. But my blood can't intercede for you. I could potentially die for you. But I can't put away your sin. My blood is sinful blood. There's only one person who had holy blood shed that could put away your sin. And that's Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. There are a lot of things I could do for you. But I can't save you. I can't make you one inch closer to God Almighty. I can't do it. Proverbs 17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Boy, wouldn't that be nice to be able to love at all times. I certainly don't. Pray for the ability to, but I'm just not able. I don't find the ability in myself to love at all times. Christ loves at all times. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Him. Nothing. His love is perfect. His perfect love casts out our fear. Fear not. Consider Him. A friend loveth at all times. His love never fails. His love never fails. If God loves you, you shall be saved. His love is perfect. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. He is our brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He's our elder brother. And He was literally born into this world for our adversity. Literally. He bore our sins in His body. He traded places with us. He became us. He stood on that cross in our place. He suffered the wrath of God in full. The full payment that was required for my sin that I've earned. The wrath that I deserve. He bore it all for me and for you if you're a sinner. I can't do that for you. We can't do that for one another. Only He can. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May we rejoice in Him. Often in this life, we suffered division. Separation. Personally, I've experienced it a little bit, and it absolutely breaks my heart. Especially when it's with someone who you thought was your brother, and you pray that they still are, but at the moment you're separated. You think they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But God knoweth. But here's what gives me great comfort. There's no division in Christ. Is Christ divided? No. No, in Him, there's perfect peace and rest. No separation. No division from Him. In heaven, we won't get in spits and spats with one another. How foolish. We're in Him. We're going to behold Him. We're going to worship Him forever and ever. Perfect peace in Him. We're one with Him. He married us. Just like Hosea and Gomer. I'll betroth thee unto myself forever. What He was saying was, I'm never going to put you away. I'm never going to leave you to yourself. We belong to Him. He said, thou art mine. He bought us with His own precious blood. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And we can come to Him. I mentioned it early in the message. What's a friend? We can come to Him. He urges us to come to Him. Come unto me. Come daily. Come to Him for everything. Trust and cast all your care upon Him. He careth for you. He's for us. Child of God, He's for you. If God be for us, Who can be against us? It doesn't matter if the world's against us. He said, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. But he's our friend. If he's my friend, it don't matter who else is my friend. He's our friend, brethren. He's for you and he'll never be against you. Never. And we have his promise. He said, I will never leave you. A mother can forget her sucking child. I don't understand how, but it's possible. It happens. Friends will leave. Those whom you counted dear, you may open your eyes one day and they may no longer be there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forget you. He is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise God for him. Christ our friend. Amen.